Well, in 2016, the rape and murder of nurse Gail Woodford in the APY lands pushed South Australia to introduce strict laws to protect nurses working in remote areas. But new research shows that the rest of the country hasn't caught up yet. Nurse Laura Wright is a research officer with James Cook University's Mutupuni Centre for Rural and Remote Health, and she joins us from Tennant Creek this morning. Laura, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Laura, from the research you've been doing, how safe would you say it is for a remote area nurse in Australia right now?
Yeah, unfortunately, it depends on the region. Some areas are doing really well and some are just, you know, still taking it day by day. And, yeah, there's still some significant gaps in safety.
What are those gaps? Help people explain what the dangers are. This is something you've thought about because although you're not a remote area nurse yourself, you're based in Tennant Creek, and I think your father was a remote area nurse, is that correct?
Yeah. So I grew up in remote Aboriginal communities, so I've kind of seen from the family perspective some of the things that the remote area nurses go through, which is my inspiration to do this project. And, yeah, some areas are still even basic things like the clinic and accommodation safety, even really basic stuff like having effective locks on the doors. So we're talking some areas are still, you know, right back to basics, have issues. Some are more just around having enough staff to be able to send nurses with a second person on call-outs, you know, so they're not going to patients' houses on their own at night. So it varies, but there are many issues that are still to be addressed.
And why is this? Because the tragic death more than 5 years ago now of Gail Woodford, she had worked in a remote community for many years, it really did draw a national focus on remote area nursing, the safety of the people out doing this. Why hasn't much changed in the wake of that?
That's what I'm trying to work out because what my literature review found was that, yeah, there are still, you know, the same recommendations coming out year after year after year, which suggests that they're not actually being implemented. So I'm trying to find out why that is, if there's any particular barriers that we need to overcome. And if there are enablers, then how can we actually get this stuff moving so nurses stop getting hurt?
The South Australia, in the wake of the brutal death of Gail Woodford, passed what's known as Gail's Law. What did that change in terms of, you know, making it safer for the nurses?
Yeah, so anecdotally from remote area nurses, I've heard that it's completely changed the culture in South Australia around workplace safety. So I've heard that there are nurses that from day one, their employers have made it clear that their safety is a priority. And then that's kind of flowed through with actually, you know, implementing things.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not across the board.
No, but the law itself had some concrete changes, didn't it? What concrete things have changed, have been regulated now as a part of Gail's Law?
Yeah, so that's particularly around never alone. So having a second person, whether it's a trusted community member or a second clinician, with you on call-outs. So that was one of the major changes, and that has been implemented quite well, yeah.
In terms of never alone, in terms of having perhaps a second staff member, I imagine that, I mean, a lot of these remote area nurses are working very remotely, aren't they, as Gail was, working quite remotely. Is it the case that there is always more than one staff person there in a clinic, in a remote clinic, or are some people working all the time, day and night, entirely alone?
Yeah, so that's one. Staffing is always a huge issue in remote.
Because of costs or because of people not wanting to do it or?
Yeah, I'm not sure entirely why there are some clinics that are still really, really struggling to keep staff. I think it's, yeah, partly depends on the community, depends on the, you know, the time of year as well. Christmas is always a tricky time to get staff. But the other thing is that the ability to have local staff who can also help with second responders has also really helped with them being able to put in that never alone in place.
Right. So community staff and community, you know, trusted people.
Yeah, so not relying on outsider staff to be able to provide, you know, that support when we've traditionally had so many issues with trying to get people to go to community to work.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, as you say, and your study has looked at, your research has looked at a lot of the studies and recommendations in this area that have been done over years. So it's not as though, as you say, we don't know what the problems are. Have we seen a decrease in incidence in South Australia since Gail's Law has been implemented compared to other jurisdictions?
Yeah, so that hasn't actually been researched yet, which was one of the things that came out in my review. So that's what's up next for my project, is to assess, like, what are the current rates of workplace violence, what are the current rates of safety incidents, and what safety strategies are actually in place in the clinics.
Yeah. All right, Laura, thank you very much.
No worries.
Laura Wright is a registered nurse and a research officer with the James Cook University's Mutapunyi Centre for Rural and Remote Health, doing this really important research project because, as I say, South Australia has brought in what's known as Gail's Law now, in the death more than five years ago of the rape and murder of Gail Woodford more than 5 years ago, has brought in that law change. The rest of the country has seen it, has seen the impact of it, but they're still very slow in moving to keep these nurses safe.